In our deep dive this week, we take a look at luxury, luxury assets, luxury stocks, and who better to do that with than one David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth. The gentleman has more than 50 years of experience, having worked in our industry, having understood companies and following companies, and looking at all of the emergence of new companies, the likes of Ferraris that haven't been listed for too long, against the likes of LVMH that have gone and consumed absolutely everything in their path, and now coming after companies like Richemont. Uncle David, thank you again for giving us your time and sharing your insights with us. Simon and I spoke about this, I think it was a week and a half ago, where Bernard Arnault, the founder of, or the CEO of LVMH, bought some personal interests in Richemont, and we were like, the world of luxury is a completely different world.
Well, it's the world that we can't participate in.
Yes, we look at it through the window. We window shop.
Jimmy, I've got a saying that I've been using a long time. I say, buy the shares, not the product. In other words, you can still benefit from luxury by buying the actual shares as well. And luxury is just something that is, it's not difficult to understand, but it's got its own separate, I don't want to say culture. You know, what is luxury? It's quite difficult to define. I know there are a lot of brands that we think are luxury, but that's not luxury. Luxury.
You actually gave me the best definition of luxury. And I put it in a piece. I put down a little article that I'll share in the link after this pod. And your definition of it was, if the second-hand product sells for more than the primary product or the new product, that's luxury.
Yes, because it shows exclusivity and it shows demand. In other words, the people who are buying the second-hand can't get to the new one. And also, the brands maintain their value. How I started to look at luxury was I was at one of the Buffett conferences, and even though the company I'm talking about is not distinctly luxury, this was after the 2008 crisis. And I was at the Omaha meeting, and a person asked Buffett, one of the members of the audience said, why did you lend money to Harley Davidson? You know, Harley Davidson, because they didn't buy shares. And he says, to tell you the truth, he says, any company that has customers who tattoo their logo on their chest, he says, it's got to be a good company.
It's a loyal customer right
That's a loyal. And he says, that's got brand loyalty. And I thought about that, you know, and it just struck with me. And that's why the two companies we're talking about is one is Hermes. I'm not pronouncing it. H-E-R-M-E-S. I don't know that you've got to have the French twang to it.
Hermes. I don't know.
Hermes. They have the Birkin bag. And the Birkin bag comes from Jane Birkin, who was a soft porno star in the 1960s. And we knew her. People of my age knew her. And Sergey Gainsborough, who made this song Je T'aime. But the bag is named after her. She died recently. And apparently she was on a plane. And she was sitting next to the designer of bags and said, I can't buy your bags because you haven't got place for a bottle. She had a baby. And whatever it is, they designed the Birkin bag. The Birkin bag today, and Simon can look it up as we talk now, the secondhand bags, I think, go at almost double the new bags. Now, that means that there's a massive demand for it. It has a certain status.
A pre-owned bag is currently on sale for $37,500.
Careful. Are you looking at a standard Birkin or are you looking at a Birkin Minis? Because they have a mini range, which is equally as pricey and is half the size of the regular size Birkin.
So. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand bags. There's some here for 20,000. These things are, what they call them, in this industry, they don't call them secondhand. They call them pre-loved.
But that's luxury. And I think you see the same thing with Ferrari
as well. Yeah. So Birkin, you've got the money and you can go to their shop in New York and buy a bag, they will say no. They won't sell it to you. It's that. You've got to join a queue. You've got to wait. Ferrari, if you want a new Ferrari, they might have one on the floor.
You have to be an existing. As far as I remember, the rule around Ferrari is you have to be an existing Ferrari owner in order for you to purchase a new Ferrari, which means you have to buy your first Ferrari secondhand in order for you to be entitled to purchase a new one.
They did a special Ferrari, was it 150 of them or something? I forget the exact number. And again, there was some requirement you had to have owned X number of Ferraris, and they sold out in a day.
Though that's luxury. So Porsche is not luxury.
Yeah, Porsche is nice.
Porsche is nice, but
not luxury. No, right. Come on. Where I park, in my basement, there are two Porsches within spitting distance. So, there are no Ferraris.
So, interestingly enough, and I think this is a very important distinction that you make, Uncle David, we look at the value of Porsches, and there are some Porsches that retain value. Mm. But when we refer to luxury, it not only retains value, it appreciates in value.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you think about it from that perspective, it's very rare to find a Porsche that has appreciated in value. So that does actually explain the...
There's that guy, Luxity. I'm sure you've interviewed him. He's got a store in...
Yes, Luxity. I've spoken to... Yes, and they specialize in the secondhand.
And they specialize in secondhand. Mm. And I mean, I've been to their shop in Cape Town. I keep my hands in my pockets because I'm just scared I'm going to touch something and have to buy it. My sister-in-law was trying on dresses. I'm like, it's braver than me. But she has euros. Mm. But he makes the point. And I went and ran the numbers and he's not wrong. The stuff that you're selling, the person who bought it is actually making a profit on the sale.
Mm.
It's like a share. Mm. It's not like a suit.
We're talking about the listed luxury. You know, there are a whole lot of others that are not listed. You know, whether it's furniture, whether it's, you know, clothing is exclusive, bedding, all kinds of things like that. And luxury yachts, you know, that kind of stuff.
Luxury watches as well. Luxury watches.
Incredible. You know what's this odd? When I looked at the Richemont results, Simon, most of their profits actually come from the jewelry. Side of Van Cleef & Arpels and Cartier. And you know that you're not part of it when you're walking down Fifth Avenue or Madison, or you're in Bond Street or the Champs-Élysées, and you walk past a Cartier and you dare not go in because you know the people are going to fold their arms. Don't even bother. You know, they're going to look down at you and put their noses up, you know. So you know which shops to go into as well if you want to. I must say one thing for Tiffany's. Mm. They know you're going to come in. So they have a special floor. You know, where you can go buy a silver dish for GBs.
Wow.
But also, to your point, David, there's levels of luxury. And I always look at LVMH and think it's just too much of a hodgepodge, as opposed to Richemont, which is sort of proper upper end, as opposed to Race, which is probably so Race, the Harley Davidson code is hog. I mean, like they got their share codes good. You know, Ferrari, Richemont, those are proper luxury.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Porsche and the LVMHs, which is sort of tier
you're
two.
You're right on that. You know, an LVMH is becoming more of a brand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they creating this ubiquitous brand. I'm just worried they're going the way of Pierre Cardin, who in the 60s, you know, where you could go into OK Bazaars and buy a Pierre Cardin a towel or something like that, which was by his design. He wanted a design for the common people. And LVMH, I think, is going that way. It's still exclusive. It's still unaffordable. But I wouldn't put it in the Hermes class.
LVMH brands, I mean, I've actually been into some of them. I mean, I've been into a Marc Jacobs. I mean, again, I kept my hands in my pockets. Tag Heuer. I mean, these are nice, but, you know, they're not Cartier. No.
But when we look at an LVMH, I suppose when you look at the brands that you'd put them against, we can almost start to rank luxury in an LVMH versus a Kering group in Europe, because the Kering would then have brands like Balenciaga and the Gucci and those sorts of brands.
They've got one, you know, the one they've got, which is quite, is the, go through those brands,
Gucci, Saint Laurent, Baguette. I can't pronounce half of them.
Bottega Veneta.
Yeah, that's the one as well. Also comes out with very exclusive bags, which has got a very strong secondhand market as well.
So we're saying in the luxury space, though, there's still levels to the luxury. Yeah. So your entry level luxury is kind of your Kering groups and now possibly your LVMH. Mm. Then a step up from that is where we put Richemont and your Hermeses and that sort of thing. And I suppose ultra luxury beyond that would be those piece uniques in the watch world where there's a one of one, or those things that aren't even available on the market for display and that sort of thing.
If you don't know,
if you don't know, then it's not for you.
Go down to Saint-Tropez or to Cannes or something,
Monaco,
and go look at the yachts. Mm. You know, then you'll know the people that.
And I also can't help thinking that higher end luxury, that proper top-end luxury, is way more immune to markets, to global crises and the like. Because if I can afford, you know, these Ferraris or these Cartiers or these Birkins or whatever, you know, maybe I'm now only worth 110 billion instead of 200 billion. Whereas the mid-tier, when stuff gets top, you know, I don't have to go and shop at you know, I can go to like Edgar's for my suits.
This is an interesting story, is whether whiskey is luxury and whether wine's a luxury or whether those are just bragging, you know, swank.
Now, those are bragging. Someone who drinks both, trust me.
And that's the interesting thing, because I did a couple of pieces around sort of the alternative asset space and how do you really invest in these sorts of things, invest in luxury, invest in whiskey, invest in art. And you start to realize that they're governed by a different set of rules. You mentioned, Uncle David, that when we look at the share prices, you can get exposure to these things via the share price. But as Simon rightly alluded to, some of the shares are a premium. I mean, Richemont is trading at a premium, but Richemont losing 27% of its revenues that came from China still was able to pull off very, very stable numbers.
They're catching up. You know, Richemont is actually catching up and pushing hard. If you look at the chart, you know, and that's come through their jewelry side. You know, the watches are down. I mean, are still there, but it's the jewelry that's exclusive. You know, I mean, those are exceptional pieces that they sell. You know, and you have to be ultra wealthy to be able to afford. I mean, when we say ultra wealthy, we're not talking South Africa wealthy.
No.
You know,
yeah, I mean, even our politicians can't afford this stuff. There is a top tip on Richemont that Chantal Marx at FNB taught me. Every so often, Richemont just collapses in a heap and loses 30%.
Okay.
Buy it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, if we look at the South African picture, the owner of Richemont is a significant portion ahead of the second wealthiest person in South Africa in terms of net worth. Johann Rupert sits north of 10 billion.
Yeah.
The second, and this is US dollar terms, by the way, so times by almost 20 for South African rand equivalents. And the second placed richest South African is below 10 billion. Mm. So it is a significant distance between number one and number two. Mm.
He didn't get there that easily.
He didn't. The business took over 15 years to build.
Yeah, it took a long time. He started with, remember he had Dunhill. He had a whole lot of, it started with, you remember Dunhill?
Yeah, no,
there were a whole lot of floppies in there. But eventually they've tuned it down to where it is today. Very, very good. And a lot of eyes are on Richemont at the moment.
Is that the preferred luxury pick for us? Richemont over the Kerings, the LVMHs?
Over Kering, yeah. I still think Hermes stands out and Ferrari.
And Ferrari.
And you can get two in one. You get electric vehicles in Ferrari and you get luxury.
Nobody buys a Ferrari because it's electric. We'll leave it on that.
Bet.
Leave it on that. Thanks so much, Uncle David. Thank you for coming through and joining us. It's been quite an insightful conversation and we look forward to having you join us for many, many more. But that's all we have time for in our deep dive this week.